Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about American evangelicalism. Maybe the picture is starting to clear up for all of us a little bit here. Often what calls itself evangelicalism or what passes for evangelical isn't, in fact, strictly speaking, evangelical. In fact, very often those who call themselves evangelicals most forcefully have strayed farthest from the genuine sense of the term, and that is of the gospel. Now, American evangelicalism, strong on scripture. That's good. American evangelicalism, great zeal for evangelizing a lost world. That is tremendous. But what's the message if you go out and say, the gospel is for the lost world, and you can get it straight? When you're talking to the lost world, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. He paid for all your sins. He atoned for every sin. Now he has done this to make you right with God. You are right with God. But when you get that person the next week into church, that message evaporates. And suddenly you've moved on to other things. You can hardly call it evangelical when you give up the gospel after someone's saved and force feed them the law, even in the softest form. Craig Parton is our guest. He'll join us here in just a moment. You can join us as well. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, keep on trying. We will be talking with Craig Parton for another hour and taking phone calls right away, 1-800-730-2727. Or if you prefer, we have that in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers and emailers during this hour will receive a copy of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May called The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Craig Parton is a former staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's the United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the new book titled The Defense Never Rests. Craig, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. Appreciate it.
Let's go back to the phones, Craig, and talk with Joshua, who's calling from Pittsburgh. Joshua, thanks for your patience, and welcome to Issues Etc.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. Great. Can you hear me? Well, I'm on a cell phone.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, Joshua.
Okay, great. Greg, you're in my home state. I'm a fifth generation Californian. I love it out there.
Oh, really? Okay, very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, so I grew up in Santa Barbara. I wish I'd make a comment and also ask a question. Comment regarding evangelicalism not being focused on the gospel. I heard you also speaking about topical objective studies, and I just wanted to speak about how really having a more of a exegetical preaching style, really focusing on the Word of God being the one that's speaking and cutting the hearts, allowing the Word to be the use of the sword from the Spirit to really cut our hearts, rather than being more focused on topical objectives, which we really try and get a pulse, if you will, of those who we're speaking to, is really hard and very frustrating. Just speaking about that, how really that allows the Word to bring the gospel out, rather than allowing us to try and bring it out, it gets more center focus. But my question to you also is, if we're speaking about evangelicalism, can we also speak about more of a restoration, going back to what, evangelicalism, which is even evangelists or preaching the Word, about preaching the word of the gospel, and let's about restoring back to what it is to really focus in on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, dying for my sins, and it's taking a personal accountability for that.
Joshua, that's an excellent question. Let's deal with his first topic first here, Craig. He asked about preaching topical versus what he called exegetical, or we might even say, in the best sense, expository preaching.
Yeah, I frankly would like to see Lutherans stand up in the pulpit, and maybe this would be a Wednesday night service, see more Lutheran pastors say, you want to hear what the Reformation sounds like when it does 1 Timothy doing law and gospel? You know what Charles Swindoll sounds like. You know what Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel sounds like when they do these verses. Let's give you a window to see what does the Reformation pulpit sound like when it goes verse by verse. I mean, there's nothing against going verse by verse and doing a teaching time and doing it solidly in the Lutheran churches. And we seem to oftentimes not do that because we're concerned the evangelicals do it, and after all, we're just supposed to do long gospel, make sure that that's always there, lead people in the gospel, and do the sermon that way. I would love to see Lutherans and those in the Reformation tradition accept the challenge of doing a book, and maybe you do it during the week, and maybe that's not the appropriate time to do it on Sunday morning, but I think you can do it as long gospel and go verse by verse.
Well, I think that Joshua's question centers on in among evangelicals when they do kind of purely topical preaching. Okay, we're going to talk about marriage, and they're going to skip around and find every passage that pertains to marriage. Does this lead to a preaching that majors in minors?
Well, I think it very much can do that. I don't think that it has to do that, Todd. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of Lutherans see that kind of preaching going on. It's done poorly. It's done by just wandering around and picking out verses out of context to support what the speaker wants as kind of their theme for the day. But I don't think that there's a requirement you can't speak from the pulpit on marriage, and you can't speak on a general topic because you're going to somehow violate our principle of preaching long gospel. I think it can be done. I think you have to be exceedingly careful, but I would frankly like to hear that from a Reformation perspective and see that kind of thing done, understanding that there can be some dangers to it.
What should all preaching point to, whether it's topical or a more textual preaching?
Yeah, I mean, preaching is, I mean, we're talking about, as Luther says, bringing the law to the satisfied conscience and bringing the gospel to the terrified one. And Luther was absolutely right that is the true theologian of the church is the pastor that can do that from the pulpit. It's exceedingly difficult to do, but the law has to be presented there in all its terror, cutting absolutely no slack, saying what it says about sin, and it has to be brought to the people in its complete pure fury. Shockingly in its fury. This is what you're doing, and this is what it deserves. And then bringing along the gospel in all its comfort. Then you have set up why people need the gospel, because they can't fulfill the law. They are lawbreakers. And then the gospel comes to them saying, you know what? You are the prodigal son. You return. Your father's arms are open. Your sins are completely atoned for. Now leave here in peace. That's where that thing ought to happen. So oftentimes in evangelicalism, where it ends is, now take that list with you and start in this week and come back and tell everybody how you did on the list.
What do you make of Joshua's call for restoration rather than reformation?
My sense was he was talking about within evangelical churches, how can they go about and what's going on in that way. Evangelical churches have a disadvantage in that they have no at least formalized liturgy. They have no real hymnal that they're using of an ordered service and a tradition of solid doctrinally reviewed hymns. They don't come out of a tradition that has a catechism that centers or majors on the majors and allows their people to be systematically trained and instructed. And so my call to evangelical churches are, this is where you need to go. And many are going in that direction. They're looking for a formalized liturgy on Sunday. They're looking for a connection to the ancient church and to the gospel. They're looking for a solid catechesis to be able to give to their young people. And that's really a reformation that's going to happen. When that kind of focus comes back and people realize, you know what, we've thrown out history, we've thrown out what 2,000 years of Christians can teach us, and we're really destitute here. And our culture is crying out for mystery, for transcendence, for depth, and we're not offering depth. Where are we going to get that kind of help? And really, they're going to have to go back. This is really going to be an effort for evangelical pastors to go back and go to the streams of the Reformation and start doing your reading and see where it's going to lead you.
It seems, we've only got a minute here before we go to a break, it seems as though there's also a danger in the other extreme, and that is toward this restorationism that says, look, if we can just get back to the Church of Acts, then God is going to bless us.
right, right.
It seems, again, another theology of glory.
Yes, yeah, I think that's true. Instead of saying, look, let's go back and see where we've gone wrong here. Let's start getting our pulpit in order. Let's start talking about preaching law and gospel, making Christ and his saving office the center of our service. Let's start talking about theologically solid hymnody that can be sung by the whole congregation instead of this entertainment, solo-oriented kind of music that we've had. And let's start from stem to stern. Let's start looking at whether we're getting the whole counsel of God to our people during the year. Maybe there's a reason these churches have used a church calendar in these Reformation churches. Maybe it keeps them going through the whole counsel of God during the year. Maybe we should start looking into that. And I'm seeing evangelicals starting in things like, let's start using a church calendar to control the pastor so that we make sure he preaches at least a section from Genesis to Revelation each week, and we don't get stuck in 47 weeks on the book of Daniel.
You know, folks, it amazes me. It's something that Craig pointed out in the last hour, but I have to add at this point before we go to the break, that just as some evangelicals are returning to the historical roots of Christianity, these things that have served the preaching of the gospel and the whole counsel of God so well in the church for millennia, there are those who have them and are abandoning them in favor of the worst of American evangelicalism. We'll be right back.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about American evangelicalism. Let's go back to the phones. Norman's been waiting in Lincoln, Nebraska very patiently. Norman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, thank you. It was KLCV when you were on the air.
Boy, that has been a long time since you've been listening. Boy, it changed its acronym.
Norman, your question or comment?
Well, the question will be, how can I avoid troubling you since I'm a little different? And now I'll explain it. I get blessed by the radio preachers I listen to after my own church, which is an evangelical free, which is sort of like conservative Baptist. And I get blessed by some conservative Baptists and some Lutheran sometimes, and Wesleyan and Presbyterian people. And a lot of them are urging people to come to Christ, repent of sin, and believe the gospel and walk with him. And Bill Bright talked about spiritual breathing, where you receive the Holy Spirit after you, while you exhale your sin. And the Wesleyans talk about a second work of grace. And we're all talking about obedience to the Word of God when we're saved.
Now, Norman, do you see a disparity? I mean, you obviously do listen rather broadly and are well listened in at least the broadcasts of American evangelicalism.
Yeah.
Do you see a disparity between some of these various teachers and teachings?
Mostly on eschatology.
All right. Norman, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Craig, this is where a lot of people are exposed to the mainstream of American evangelicalism, and that is through much of its through the media. Is there a disparity between the things he mentioned there?
Well, I think what he's reflecting is that a lot of people simply do get their theology picked up from all over the place, and they aren't too worried about the fact, and this is true for those in the Reformation tradition, that their church life is unsatisfactory because they're really getting plugged in for what they need on TBN or on, you know, Pastor so-and-so on the television or wherever it is. It's really a remarkable kind of quality of American evangelicalism is this kind of ability to look around buffet style and take from Wesley what you like there and take from Luther what you might like there. But I think what really he needs to do, and what I would encourage Norman to do, is to go in a little bit more depth in the particularly within the tradition of the Reformation, and look at the theology as a whole, because certainly in the Reformation, in Lutheran Reformation, Christ is the center of the entire thing, of its theology, of its worship. The whole thing holds together in that way. And I think it's what you end up doing is not looking at depth at any theology. And when you pick and choose something from a Presbyterian and something from a Baptist in areas of substantive theology, you really end up, in essence, making up your own religion. And the fact of the matter is these things hold together as theologies. Calvinism holds together as an entire theology, as the Lutheran Reformation does. And you owe it to yourself to look into those and to look at them in depth. My recommendation to him is to get a book like F.E. Mayer's Religious Bodies in America and read on Calvinism and Lutheranism in there and see the distinctions in there and why those distinctions are critical and how they work themselves out in the worship of the church.
Very briefly, Craig, before we go back to the phones, is there something inherent in modern American evangelicalism, especially in the non-denominational variety, that actually encourages and considers it a virtue for someone to do the buffet-style theology? I'm a Calvinist on predestination, I'm a Wesleyan on conversion, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing.
Well, that, frankly, that a person who would talk like that is a very high-level evangelical and is probably going to end up in the Reformation. I've never met one that was so sophisticated that said, on the Christian life, I'm Wesleyan, on predestination, I'm Calvinist. You've got a guy who's reading enough theology to say that, who realizes that, you just don't find people like that, Todd, because that takes a level of depth to even get to that point. And, you know, but evangelicalism does encourage shopping around and, you know, getting your fix wherever you can get it. And again, it's kind of a me-centered, subjective-orientated, who does it for you? Well, Pastor so-and-so and these people and that organization. And that kind of subjective focus, I think, lends itself to people wandering around and taking buffet style.
Let's go back to the phones before this break. Tom in Erie, Pennsylvania. Tom, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. It's good to be here, and Craig again. My wife and I were on staff with Campus Crusade. As a matter of fact, Craig was speaking in Buffalo, New York on our campus and stayed at our apartment. Many years ago.
I apologize, and I thought I sent a check for all the damage.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, we were really, really hospitable people.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah. That wasn't the place I burned down,
no,
was it?
No.
Oh, good.
Well, I have a question and, well, / comment. It has to do with confession and forgiveness. Now, in the evangelical churches that I've attended, rarely, if ever, do you have a public prayer of confession like you would find in the Lutheran liturgy. And although they would acknowledge that, you know, we are sinners and we do need forgiveness, we do continue to sin, I just wonder if it has to do with the emphasis on the victorious life, the spirit-filled life, and the tension that's there. And that just don't want to really talk about confession.
That's a great question, Tom. Thank you for the call. Spend the time before this break. We've got about 2 minutes or so answering that.
Boy, Tom, that is a terrific question, and it's a great insight. And I guess on one level, my response to it is, why aren't churches doing this when they know that that sin is a reality? I mean, 1 John 1:9, and any effort to try and deny sin, 1 John 1:8 and 9, you just make God a liar. Why aren't they being upfront about this or using confessions within their services? Part of that is, and I think he's hit it on the head, there's the victorious living sanctification orientation. What a way to destroy the atmosphere of a service right at the front end if you're an evangelical. Everybody's supposed to be happy. The song leader's up there. The pastor's happy. Everybody's smiling. The music is upbeat. It's starting to rock and roll a little bit, even in the Baptist churches. And you're going to start off the service by saying, okay, the way we're going to begin now is everyone's going to get on their knees, and I'm going to read a confession of sin. It just kind of like twists your neck a little bit to hear that. Whereas Lutherans and those from within the tradition of the Western Rite would say, of course, we begin with confession. We don't come into the presence of God unless we acknowledge that we are sinners and receive the forgiveness of our sins by the spoken absolution. But evangelicals are going to say, number one, we all know we're sinners. We're already forgiven. Why are you beating yourself again like Catholics? And number two, who in the world is going to speak the absolution to you? Certainly not. Are you saying that a man can forgive another man's sins? Only God can do that. So theologically, they're going to have some real problems with the concept of confession and absolution. But I'll tell you, Tom, there's nothing that struck me more the first time I wandered into a Lutheran service was starting off with a confession of our sins on our knees. My children had never been on their knees doing that, and it was right at the front end of the service. And, boy, it was it was something that rearranged my wife and I for many hours after that service, that we talked well into that evening after a Friday night Tenebrae service that started that way.
Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about American evangelicalism. You know, I know what it's like, folks. You go in there on Sunday morning and you say, look, for me to confess my sin, especially openly, would it's a last resort. I mean, if I'm just desperate, I guess I'll do that to relieve my conscience. But this is really between me and God, and I'll deal with it on my own. But that's not the solution that God has provided for sin. The only answer that we have for sin is not to try harder and improve and see if we can work this out with God. The only answer that God has provided for us with regard to our sin is confess it. Leave it at the cross. Jesus took it there after all, didn't he? We'll be right back. Can God affect a spiritual change through a physical means? Can God's spoken word, holy baptism, and the Lord's Supper really deliver the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection? How can these concrete means of grace be the center of one's spiritual life? The answers to these questions are found in the new Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. You can order The Spirituality of the Cross online at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on this book, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here, joined by the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals, Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Dr. Veith, what is the spirituality of the cross?
In the cross, God became flesh. He became one of us, and then he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and took upon himself all of our sins and gave us his righteousness. And it's in connecting to that cross through God's word, through the sacraments, that is the gospel that enables a person to live in that in the shadow of the cross, not in our own works, not in our own experiences, not in mystical experience, all these other things that we try. It's in the cross that we find the grace of God. And that's a historical event that happened a long time ago, but it's also something that we can tie into that really is the secret, I think, for everyday life.
Who were the first evangelicals, and what was their theology?
Well, the word evangelical means gospel, and that's a term that we use a lot, and a lot of people call themselves evangelicals, but many of them, I think, have forgotten what the gospel really is and what the gospel really entails. The first people to be called evangelical were the Lutherans. Now, they weren't called Lutherans back in the 1500s. They were called evangelicals because the center of their theology, everything that they taught, from the role of the sacraments, the nature of worship, to everything, centered on that gospel of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And everything grew out of that. And so what I found in the Lutheran Church, after many years of searching, I found really not just the gospel, but the gospel and how that can be the center of one's spiritual life. So the first evangelicals were the Lutherans. And so I think a lot of people, including other kinds of evangelicals and non-Christians and other people, in searching for that gospel, can really find it in its purest essence in Lutheran churches.
You can order our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith, by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or order online at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christian ethics in the workplace. We have a roundtable of guests, Dr. Raymond Hilgert of Washington University, James Truesdell, who's a businessman here in St. Louis, and Pastor Phil Lacus, Enron, WorldCom, remember Global Crossing? All of these scandals rocked the business world. What do they all have in common? What drove them? And in today's fast-paced business world, where can you look for practical moral guidance? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing on Issues Etc. for the rest of June, you can check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to read two articles written by our guest in this hour, Craig Parton. One is titled Luther Light and Reformation Schmooze, and the other is titled From Arrowhead to Augsburg, Bill Bright and the In the Light of the Lutheran Confessions. The web address to read those articles, issuesetc.org. Now, Tom was on the line earlier from Erie, Pennsylvania. Tom, I'd like you to stay on hold if you would, and we'll get your name and a mailing address so that we can send you the book, the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, called The Spirituality of the Cross, absolutely free. Let's go back to the phones. Carl is calling from Austin, Texas. Carl, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Todd, how you doing? I like the program.
Thank you
for broadcasting into Texas. Craig, I'm an evangelical Christian from Texas, and the bottom line is, brother, who gets the job done? We help people to know God and Jesus. We bear Christian influence in society, including getting people like Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush into office. And you're a good attorney, but you missed a couple little points. You said the bright ones are headed to Rome out of evangelical Christianity. Some of the brightest and most successful financially Christians are evangelical Christians. You missed on that point. And two is, you talked about evangelicals going to Rome, or Catholicism, as you call it, and I have no problem with Catholicism personally. Some of the best Christians I've ever met are Catholic Christians. But, you know, you might want to cite the statistics both in the United States and Central and South America and elsewhere, the number of people coming out of Catholicism, so to speak, into evangelical Christianity. And the last thing I would just say, Craig, it's who's getting the job done, and we are.
All right. Thank you very much. It's an interesting way of looking at some of the theological points we've been bringing up here. Let's respond to a few of them. First of all, to his first and last point, look, we're getting the job done.
Right.
We're getting presidents elected.
As I said at the front end, I was hopefully he heard me at the front end when we talked about what is the grandeur of American evangelicalism. The grandeur is their ability to bring the gospel out to non-Christians, and their ability to impact culture with that gospel. That is what Lutherans need to learn, that zeal for evangelism and that desire to impact the culture with that saving message of Jesus Christ. The agony of American evangelicalism is, where is that cross as the daily diet given to the Christians and the diet given to them in their worship style? They don't have the historical link or the resources to go back and make that worship service a service where you learn how to receive gifts. They tend to be and are anti-sacramental, and we can maybe talk about that later. But that is, you know, the caller, I have no, I think he was thinking I was going to dispute him, that they're getting the job done. I mean, I for years as an evangelical, that's what it was all about, having people become Christians. But, you know, as Chuck Smith said, we catch them, you clean them, and you be in the Reformation. You grow them as Christians. He was, you know, very clear, you know, the Reformation folks have the depth of theology to really grow Christians in that shed blood and that cross and keeping that thing Christocentric. We just need to do a much better job about evangelizing the lost and getting out and learning how to talk to unbelievers, which is something Lutherans just aren't very good at for a number of reasons, and there really is a lot to learn.
Well, Craig, I didn't hear a lot in the caller about getting the job done with regard to evangelism. I heard about getting presidents elected and being financially successful.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that is, if that's where he was going with it, I guess I put the best light on it, being a charitable lawyer that I am. But you're right, if it's all about we really should have elected, being a Christian means sending George Bush to the White House, I don't think that's, I think that's a real confusion of the two kingdoms and what the kingdom of this world is supposed to be about versus the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ who reigns in word and sacrament. That's just a you know, kind of a common evangelical misunderstanding of the two kingdom theology that we need to have. And if that's what he was talking about in financial success and that's really where it's at, I'd say, well, show me in Scripture where that's at, because I don't think it's there. I don't think that's biblical, and I think that's just part of many times the kind of power, happy, clappy kind of evangelical style that's out there in many of the evangelical churches where you know God's blessing you because you have money and you got a Republican in the White House.
It's right back to that theology of glory, that we can tell how God is disposed toward us if the politics are turning our way, if the money's coming in the plate, if the people are filling the pews. Well, we must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's so true. It doesn't mean if you have people leaving your church that you're doing it right either. You can have a small church, maybe with a very limited number of people, and you're doing everything you ought to be doing. You're getting the gospel out there, and you're leaving the results to God. On the other hand, you can have a huge church and be in complete disobedience because you're really not preaching the cross. You're preaching success. You're preaching what a wonderful world it is because we're all Republicans here and we're all conservative politically, which I don't find any connection to in Scripture. I think Christians are a lot more independent politically than we're given, you know, a lot of press kind of wants to paint us all as right-wing conservative Republicans who would only vote for George Bush. I don't think you get that from Scripture, and I think there's a real misconception there. His other comment was on Roman Catholicism. By the way, I didn't say the bright ones from evangelicalism are only going to Rome. The fact is they're coming out of evangelicalism. Many are going to Eastern Orthodoxy. Many are going to Rome. A good number are coming to the Reformation, both Calvin and Luther. And the point is that evangelicals are seeking a connection to a depth in the worship service where Christ is presented in his saving office to the kind of form found in the Western Rite. And he's right that Catholics are converting into evangelicalism, but as I mentioned earlier, that's because of the commonality of the theology. That may not be the biggest compliment that he thinks it is.
Let's go back to the phones. Rick is calling from Kansas City. Rick, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been involved in evangelicalism for quite some time, and what Craig was saying about the list of things to do really hit home with me. And one of the biggest things I find is that if I don't do well with the list, I feel frustrated. If I do well, there's really no satisfaction there either. My question would be, what would you recommend as a starting point for someone who's looking for more depth than I'm finding in evangelicalism?
Boy, I feel exactly what you're talking about. Now, all I can tell you, Rick, is what happened in that kind of journey and how we did that process. The fact of the matter is, I really needed, and a number of us, there were probably 20 of us here in Santa Barbara who were at the same point that you were. And one thing that we found very helpful was to somehow listen to a conversation that had the theology that I'm talking about here tonight, the theology you hear on Issues, etc., and maybe be able to hear it without initially walking into a Lutheran church and sitting down and having to participate in a service. The way we found that was listening to the White Horse Inn radio show, which was very, very helpful to us, where guys discussed Reformation theology and what it sounded like. It was safe, and yet it got us saying, boy, I wish I could find a church that was doing that. And finally, we got to the point of saying we really need to find a church that is saying these kinds of things, that really has this theology of the cross down right, where the service isn't the plaything of the pastor on Thursday night with his laptop. I don't get subjected to the, quote, something new every Sunday that's made up by the pastor. I'm going to hear about my failure. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to hear the creed of the church. I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to see all these aspects there in the service. And I'd encourage you to look for a church that does that. And, go wander into a solid Lutheran church and maybe you call back to the station. They probably have some connections in the town you're in, give you a recommendation, and hopefully that church is doing the kinds of things that we've talked about tonight that ought to be being done. There is hope for you, and there's a lot of people that are in the same kind of position you were. We frankly became Lutherans out of desperation. It really was. It was we just have got to hear the gospel for us again. We have got to hear about Christ taking care of our failure as Christians, and that's what ultimately drove us one night on a Friday night to go to a Good Friday service with our kids. We just had it. We couldn't take it anymore. We were becoming so critical of what was going on Sunday morning, and so, as you put it, frustrated with the list, that we had to find some release, some freedom to be sinners again. I mean, unfortunately, I've got a title in my book, The Defense Never Rests. It's called The Joy of Rediscovering Sin, and having it called sin once again, and having a real forgiveness brought home to that. And there are churches out there, Rick, that are doing that.
Craig Barton is our guest. Rick, I'd like you to stay on the line if you could. I'd like to send you The Spirituality of the Cross. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He recounts his journey from American evangelicalism, from liberalism, from Eastern mysticism, and I think you'll find it very helpful. And we'd also like to put you in touch with the Confessional Lutheran Church in the Kansas City area. Now, Craig has touched upon something very important. And that is, you know what the to-do list does in the average evangelical church? It says, now, go and do this stuff. And if you don't do it, well, maybe at the very worst, shame on you for not trying so hard. But if you went back to your pastor and said, did I sin in failing to do what you gave me to do last Sunday? Oh, no, it's not a sin. Just shows you need to try harder. Let's put it back right where it belongs. The Ten Commandments, that particular list. When you don't keep that one, God calls it sin. And there's only one answer that God has given to our sin, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a vacation this summer where you can relax, renew, and refocus? Well, I have just the opportunity for you. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have the chance to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, two private lakes, miles of hiking trails, and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction from Issues Etc. regular guests Craig Parton, George Mather, Angus Manouge, and Rolf Preuss. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in northern Wisconsin, 1-800-577-4848. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If the subject we've been discussing here, if you've been finding this fascinating and interesting, there's another opportunity to hear Craig Parton go into more depth on American evangelicalism, but also to talk about defending the Christian or the biblical worldview, preaching Christ crucified to convinced pagans, and to hear other Issues Etc. regular guests hold forth on subjects like Darwinism's failure or postmodernism and hypersecularism. Dr. Angus Manouge will be talking about that, and Pastor Rolf Preuss talking about Catholicism today and theological liberalism, Pastor George Mather talking about Islam. All of this can be found in one venue from June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. We'll be there broadcasting live during the seminar as well. And for $229, you get all those guests, you get all those lectures, you get 7 nights lodging, and you get all your meals. If you want more information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or just visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. It's only a month away, and it's time to register. June 20th through the 27th, issuesetc.org. Ed is calling from Burnsville, Minnesota. Ed, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, hi. My question has to do with how much time should we spend on the law? It seems to me evangelicals have a preoccupation with what we would call the third use of the law. And there's a local Christian radio show here in the afternoon. They can spend an entire hour talking about whether it's a sin to watch American Idol or go to R-rated movies or something like that. I don't want to have a bad attitude toward the law and hearing, 3 hours in the afternoon of haranguing with the laws is enough to make me say I don't want to hear this.
Ed,
just give me the gospel.
Ed, you have asked probably one of the most important questions in the course of this conversation on evangelicalism from its theological weakness. Craig, first of all, distinguish the uses of the law. He mentioned the third use of the law, and why is American evangelicalism so fascinated with that third use?
Yeah, the Reformation talks about the three uses of the law, Luther in particular. The first use and most important use in the Reformation that you never lose sight of is what's called the theological use of the law, essentially, to slay you in your sins, to remind you exactly of who you are in Adam and who you are by your actual sins. That is the primary use of the law. It is to beat you down to see that you merit nothing but God's wrath, so that the gospel comes in all its purity and comfort to you. And then there is a civil use of the law. Rosenblatt calls it to control people from stealing each other's motorboats, etc. And it's an appropriate role that the law plays. And then the third use, which is really what you're talking about, Ed, the use of the law as it should be a guide in the Christian life, is really the focus on evangelicals and what they're all about. They don't even know about the three uses of the law, by the way. This is all foreign to them. What they're doing is really preaching and teaching that you can fulfill the law, and here's what it is that you need to do. That is, if they were really talking about what, Todd, you mentioned, the law and the Ten Commandments. But inevitably, it's not. It's about going to R-rated movies. Last time I checked, there is nothing in the Bible about R-rated movies. Believe it or not, some of the good films can actually be R-rated. You know, and evangelicals will get off on this use of preaching essentially sanctification by what they think is preaching biblical law, but it's not law at all. It's just simply moralism, and that's what's wearing you down. You're not really hearing the law. It'd be one thing if they were out there saying, okay, today we're gonna talk about the sixth commandment and adultery, period, and here it is, and it's wrong, and here's the reasons it's wrong from Scripture. It's generally, you know, and you shouldn't go to a drive-in movie if you're dating. Where's that in the Bible? And there's the problem that you have, and you have a complete focus on it. The law isn't there to destroy you in your sins and to show you that you're incapable of reaching God. The law for evangelicals is really good news. That's the confusion.
Well, very, very quickly, with only 1 minute, because I have a couple other questions I need to get to before we round off our hour. I was taught in the seminary this little Latin phrase, lex semper accusat. That means the law, regardless of how it's being preached to what end, it always accuses. Do evangelicals believe that the law continues to accuse, even when it's used as a guide?
And the answer basically is no. And the problem is, Todd, is that there's general ignorance about what the law is. First of all, this conversation, law and gospel, is foreign outside of really the Reformation context. Evangelicals don't talk. If you ask them, what are the two great doctrines of Scripture, you're going to generally get a blank stare. I had a Sunday school class in our big Baptist church. I had them go ask all the elders what the two doctrines of Scripture were. I was using Luther's Small Catechism with them. And these kids knew their catechism, and they went and the elders had no idea. Some guys are saying, well, it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the whole category of law and gospel is essentially unknown. And there's a general ignorance about what the Ten Commandments are. I mean, we just take this for granted that, oh, yeah, they're talking about the law. They generally are not talking about the law as we from the Reformation understand it, which is the Ten Commandments and our inability to fulfill them.
Craig Parton, with only 1 minute to go, to the person who says, look, I have been struggling with this, and you have opened my eyes to what is really the problem with the church I attend, your best advice for this Christian who is asking himself that basic question, can the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, is it enough to save even me, a failing Christian?
Well, you're right at the center when you're asking that question, and my encouragement to you is to don't fall off the edge of the wagon, which a lot of evangelicals do at this point, because God the taskmaster is just too much. There is a Christ who intercedes for you this day. The gospel is even deeper than your depravity. And that is ultimately good news. Now find a diet on Sunday morning that tells you that. And the things you want to look for are things that will give you security that's going to happen. Things like a good hymnal that's used in the service, a good catechism. They should tell you in writing on India, with India ink and real paper, what they believe. And hopefully they'll hand you a book that says, we believe what's in that. That kind of security is what you want to look for when you're shopping for what that diet's going to be on Sunday morning.
Craig Parton, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
Folks, if you'd like to order a cassette copy of this two-hour discussion on American evangelicalism for a cost of $10, or if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, or if you'd like to make a donation to Issues Etc., call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. I would love to be able to call myself an evangelical in the sense that it was originally intended of the gospel. And I think I can, but I can't do it so much in public because that's misunderstood. What evangelicalism has become is not only a far cry from what it was. People who consider their theology, their worship, their life, their way of thinking to be of the gospel, centered upon Jesus' atoning work at the cross, his resurrection from the dead. Not only a far cry from that, it's almost become the opposite of that. I don't think the term is lost to us. But even if it is, it doesn't make any difference. Because that evangel, that gospel, is not lost to us. If American evangelicalism is going to live up to its name, it will only do it by returning to a Christ-centered, cross-focused message for everyone, not just for unbelievers, but even for Christians who need Jesus just as much today as they did when they were converted. But you know, that's not only true for American evangelicalism, or people who call themselves evangelicals. It's true for people who call themselves Lutherans and Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians and non-denominational Christians. It's what makes the church the church. It's what makes Christians Christian. What Jesus did for us in his perfect life, an obedient life that was lived all the way to the cross where he died, atoning for our sins once and for all. That's not just for conversion. That's not just for the day you die. That's for you today, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.